It is not an ordinary name. It's a name that's full of power and grace. The name of Jesus is greater and higher than all men. It is not an ordinary name. It's a name that's full of power and grace. That wonderful name, Jesus. That wonderful name, Jesus. That wonderful name, Jesus. There is no other name I know his name. I know his name. His name is wonderful. I know his name. I know it. I know his name. I know it.
I know his name.
His name is wonderful.
I know his name.
Who is wonderful?
It's Jesus.
Who is wonderful?
It's
who is powerful?
It's Jesus.
Who is coming again?
It's Jesus.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Want to clap for him?
I will clap for him.
Want to dance for him?
I will dance for him.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Covenant keeping God. There is no one like him. Alpha and Omega. There is no one like him. Hallelujah.
Covenant keeping God. There is no one like him.
There is no
one
covenant keeping God. There is no one like him. Alpha and Omega, Jehovah. There is no one like you. Hallelujah.
Covenant keeping God. There is no one like you.
Alpha and Omega. There is no one like him. Jesus Christ, the covenant keeping God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the Almighty God. Thank you for the first year. Thank you for the second year. Thank you for the third year. Thank you for the fourth year. Thank you for the fifth year. Thank you for the sixth year. Thank you for the seventh year. Lord, we thank you for the eighth year. Glory, 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 glory be to your holy name. Please accept our thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are truly grateful. For the children, we are grateful. For the teenagers, we are grateful. For the women, we are grateful. For the men, we are grateful. For the elders, we are grateful. For the ministers, for the workers, we are grateful. For the pastor, for the pastor's wife, we are grateful. We are grateful for the brethren and those that have come to celebrate with us. Please just accept our thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. My Lord and my God, please this afternoon send your word to us. Let your word bring healing. Let it bring deliverance. Please set the captives free. Prove yourself to be the covenant-keeping God. We promise all the glory will be yours. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Ah, wave your hand. Let me hear you shout a really big hallelujah. God bless you. May please be seated. Hallelujah. I am truly, truly joyful to be here and to see the great works of the Almighty God in our midst. Without any doubt, my wife and I truly love Pastor Andrew and namesake. They are really, really very dear and very special to us. I mean, that little beginning, see what the Lord has done. Please, on their behalf, can we give the Lord a really big, big, big clap? And yet you have not seen anything, because it will be greater glory even after 9 in the name of Jesus. Because 8 stands for new beginning. This is a new beginning. And it will be a glorious one in the name of Jesus. What you couldn't achieve in 8 years, in the next 8 months, you will be so surprised how God will begin to bring them all to pass. In the mighty name of Jesus. Many of the names mentioned are very special people to me. If I were to go there, then all my time would have been exhausted in honoring and celebrating these great men and women of God. And I truly, truly love them. But I will please crave your indulgence to help me appreciate Mommy Onita, who is here with us. Come on, give the Lord a really big hand. Mommy, we thank you very much. We celebrate you. Greater grace, greater glory in the mighty name of Jesus. I've said I wouldn't go mentioning everybody, but let's celebrate Uncle Ramin and Mama. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. He's got a good heart and a good spirit, always desiring that others will make progress. And I've known him for a while. The only one person here that has been on the same mission trip with me before, I believe to Zambia, is Dr. Wole. Please help me celebrate him as well. Now, for every other person, can you give the Lord a big hand for all our seniors, all our friends? You know, let's celebrate everyone. And then look at your neighbor and say, Pastor, celebrate you too. Hallelujah. The covenant-keeping God is our overall theme for this 8th anniversary celebration. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 is our text. By the way, the choir, the children choir, the tribe of Judah, and I was just dancing. I didn't want them to stop anymore. Our joy will last forever in Jesus' name. Deuteronomy 7, verse number 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the God we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is the God that keeps covenant, is the covenant-keeping God. And it's very easy for him to keep covenant from generation to generation because he is also the faithful God. The text that we read, you will see the key words there. I say he is God. He is the faithful God. And because he's the faithful God, he has to then keep covenant. Because when you are faithful, you keep covenant. By his mercy and love. And not for 1 year, not for 2 years, for 1,000 generations. And that's why I'm confident in this God, that he will fulfill all that he has said concerning you in the mighty name of Jesus. All the promises of yesteryears, the promises of yesterdays, the promises of long time ago. Now is the time for fulfillment. I had only 2 good amen. Amen. I can hear 5 now, but we are more than 5 here. Amen. Let your amen be a really resounding amen. Amen. One major difference between man and God is that whereas God is ever faithful, faithful men are scarce. In Proverbs 20 verse 6, the Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But look at the question that followed. But a faithful man, who can find? Faithfulness is so scarce in our days and time. Spouses do break their covenant and vows one to another. That's where we hear of second and third marriages and fourth marriages. But God shall not break his vows. He's the covenant keeping God because he's the faithful God. Politicians all over the world, America, Europe, Nigeria, everywhere, they will break their promises. And if they don't break it altogether, they fall short of the promises. Every man is capable of breaking covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. Whatever he tells you that he will do, no matter what happens, you can be sure he will do it. He will not lie because he's faithful. But not so for man. There's a terrible testimony concerning men. In Numbers 23 verse 19, Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man. So son of man will lie. Son of man will disappoint. But God is not a man that should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said it, shall he not do it? As he spoken it, shall he not make it good? All things may change, but we can be rest assured of God's unfailing faithfulness that makes him the covenant keeping God. Some are faithful today, only to be unfaithful tomorrow. But God's faithfulness is from generation to generation. Psalms 119 verse 90. Psalms 119 verse 90. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and stands fast. Beloved brethren, God has been our help in ages past and firm foundation. I remember the day the pastor talked about. Like yesterday, I remember the message. I remember everything that happened. Do you know in America, you know, about 25% of churches open in a year must close. But this church has gone 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and now it's 8 years, still counting, because we serve the covenant-keeping God. Can you wave your hand and shout hallelujah? He has been our help in ages past. Is our hope for better future, for years to come. Very quickly, let us examine 5 reliability tests establishing that God is the covenant-keeping God. I will move very quickly, and then we'll soon be praying. Number 1, times and seasons are proofs that God is a covenant-keeping God. No season lasts forever. Is a proof that God is a covenant-keeping God. Times and seasons. In Genesis 8:22, why the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. When we wake up in the morning, we are not thinking whether today or not, whether the day will break. We are sure that the day will break. There's no debate about the day breaking. If you like, you can remove December from your calendar, but there will be winter in December. It is the proof that God is faithful, because he said way back to Noah in Genesis 8:22 that for as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease, and it has never ceased. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalms 30 verse 5. This is the reason why it doesn't matter how thick, how dark the night has been for you. The morning of joy will break forth. It's about to break forth right now in the mighty name of Jesus. As we went to bed last time, we were so sure that the day will break forth because of God's faithfulness to keep the covenant of day and night. Beloved brethren, I want to encourage you. It doesn't matter what season of life you are in. If you are in the winter season of life, where things appear difficult, where you can't make ends meet, ladies and gentlemen, because a covenant-keeping God, you cannot live all your life in the winter of life. The winter will soon give way for spring, when things will turn around for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Seasons of life shall not fail. If you're in the winter of life, be encouraged, because spring will soon show forth, where you can take opportunities of new beginning. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
Only those who allow the winter season of life to consume them will miss out of the opportunities that lie ahead in spring. And believe in God. Whatever it is that has become very difficult for you, just stay there with him, because that season will not be forever. My wife and I got married like every other person, and I mean, after 9 months, you expect that your first wedding anniversary, you will have a child. And I love children so much. I had so many of them before God gave us our own that people didn't even know that we didn't have one. But there was never a time we thought we would die without a child. We woke up excited all the time, believing God that it will happen. But then 1 year turned to 5 turned to 10, 10 to 15. And each of the times it looks like, God, I know you're a covenant-keeping God. I mean, every now and then, we went to church excited. If you know a little about me at all, I try to pick new dance steps all the time. I picked one from my brother this afternoon. It just went like that. I said, man, I'm going to try that out. I went to church not dropping my head. I went to church with excitement. And some of the times, Sunday morning when you have some important meeting, people that you have prayed for are doing child dedication. They were waiting on the Lord. Somebody came one time really stressed and weeping. And, you know, she didn't know our story. I think she had been waiting for 7 years. And 7 years was a long time to wait. But at that time, I think we had waited for 20 years. So when I told her, I said, what? I said, yes. God is faithful. He will come true. When the Lord turned again, the captivity of Zion were like them that dream. I remember that night. When? Because many times the period will be delayed for 3 weeks, sometimes even 1 month, and we're excited. Oh, it must be this month. And then my wife had bought the thing, and we test, and then it's not. For that morning, it was as if, why did you do the test? Because in the morning, then the period will come, and it will be a Sunday morning. And then we will encourage one another, say, they are waiting for us. Let's go. But this time, it was March 19, 2019. It was a different one. Well, it was a different one. It was a different one. My wife said, you know what? Maybe you should buy the testing kit. I said, okay. So it was the very first time in 23 years, for some reason, she bought it herself. But this time, I bought it and I wasn't very experienced. Because I thought it was one in a kit, so I bought three. So I bought three with different definitions. One has range, one has yes or no, one has plus, positive, minus. So I bought three types. And that's the engineering in me, because if it's true for one, true for two, true for three, then it must be true. But then I brought it, so we slept. So I felt in the morning we will do it, and around maybe 1 a.m., my wife said, I want to do the test. I said, no. This is 1 a.m. Because if it was negative, there was no sleep. We have to then do the encouragement. Because February was our 23rd wedding anniversary, and this was March. We just came back from Lagos. It was March special legal service. But she insisted. The Falasha days are beautiful, wonderful, great people. I mean, I am serious. I mean, look, they are wonderful people. One of the things about them is when they want something done, they want it done. Said, look, I'm doing it now. What's the difference? 1 a.m., 7 a.m. I said, okay, all right. So I gave her the three, because I thought it was three. So I was at a distance. Now I was like, I don't know whether it will be Sarah or Abraham. When the Lord said it will happen, they were just laughing. So she put the thing there. I said, honey. For the first time in 23 years, she was never pregnant once. She said, look, this thing is showing positive. So I moved closer now. I was now very bold.
So I didn't know the one, the line. I said, this I don't understand. Look, let's use the one plus minus. So she finished the one that has the line. She said, look, all of them said so. I said, look, the one I understand, yes or no. So she put it there. The thing said, yes. Say, let's do it one more time. Put it there. Yes. Put the third one. Put it there. Yes. The Lord will say yes concerning your matter. And I said, well, you know, yes is English. Let's use sign. Positive, negative. She put positive. Positive. We did 9 tests in a row. And to God be all the glory. The 1st of November, 2019. Isaac Boluwatife Ogomide Badu arrived because God is a covenant keeping God. Can I hear somebody shout a really big hallelujah? Seasons, one season don't last forever. Oh, it may be long, but God will come through. And because God has given us this team, whatever you have been waiting for, it is your time to receive the answer in the name of Jesus. The second proof, very quickly, answers to our prayers is a proof that God is a covenant keeping God. Because in Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That was his prayer. He said, just call on me. In the day of trouble, call on me. I promise you I will answer. And we have so many testimonies. That's why when I came into this service, after praise and worship, prayer after prayer, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of repentance, prayer, I will build my church. I mean, we just kept praying. When Christians don't pray, you have not caught the revelation that God is the covenant-keeping God. Because he said, you call on me, call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's a covenant-keeping God. When the children of Israel cried to him in Egypt, the covenant he made to Abraham many years prior came alive. Listen to him in Exodus 3 verse 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmaster. For I know their sorrows, and I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Ladies and gentlemen, don't stop praying. God answers prayers. Jesus reinforced this when he came in John 14:14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, he says, I will do it. God answers small prayers. He answers big prayers because he's the covenant-keeping God. And those who understand this never cease to remind him in the place of prayers. We came here by the grace of God. You know, the Lord was very clear to us that we should move towards Katy's side for the church. He didn't quite make any sense because the pastors we met here, and they meant well. They said to us, Pastor Tunde, Katy, a bad idea. When you come to Southwest area, that's where you have Africans and Nigerians. I'm talking about 2005. And Katy was, I mean, all the development, we saw all the bridges they built and all of those. So, from location of industry principle, they were right. But God insisted. They said, okay, if you are going to go to Katy area, move towards I-10 side. But no. God prepared this place ready. And so God gave us a 6.23 acre land day one. It was April 05. It was jungle. Only one tiny building built in 1952 was on it. The same year Redeem started. But here's the interesting thing. We closed on the land, and I was just moving around and just praying. I saw one old man, 72 years old, gray hair everywhere, Caucasian. She was moving gently towards me and he beckoned at me. Said, please, can you come near? Say, can you tell me a church just bought this place? And I said, yes, sir. Ah, he threw his hands up. I said, why did you ask? He said, I'm 72 years old now. I was born in this city of Kedi. Many years ago, God told me that a church will be coming here from Africa. And each time they sold this land, I came to check, somebody has bought it. So I thought, didn't I hear God well? I will return to God. And God said, yeah, they are coming. That 3 months prior, he then went to God. Now I'm 72. When will this church come? And for the first time, God said, now the church is around the corner. So every week he will now come and check. I said, we have come. She put his 2 hands on my head, began to pray in the spirit. God is a covenant keeping God. God told a white Caucasian years back that a church from Africa will be coming. And at the fullness of time, we came. That was why when we now wanted to start, and city said we couldn't start because we bought a commercial land. We needed to do special use permit. I told them, how long will it take? They said anywhere from 3 months to 1 year. Then they began to make trouble. I knew that we will start the church here because God already told somebody that we are coming. And then the city had to waive all the things they were making trouble over. And now the church has been 16 years last April. And God has taken us from that little tiny building. God gave us the first building, the second building, build the pavilion. The daycare is building their church now. I mean, the entire place has expanded. We've bought more land since then. And the covenant keeping God has not stopped blessing us. It is your turn to testify. Amen. Say, it is your turn to testify. Amen. Say, it is your turn to testify. Amen. Because of time, maybe I will pick only one more because it is celebration. You can't preach all the sermon on the Thanksgiving Day. Now, number 3, breaking barriers against all odds is a proof that God is a covenant keeping God. Brethren, there are always barriers. There are always barriers. Sarah found the promise of God funny, that she laughed at the promise of having a child when she was past the age. But whatever God says he will do must be done. There are barriers. I mean, she was past age. Abraham, oh, forget it. But it doesn't matter what the barrier may be. I don't know what barriers you can see right now. I bring you word from the Lord. God is about to bypass the barrier in the name of Jesus. Because when God says something, he will do it. I think one of the prayer points, the last one I believe, says, I will build my church. The gate of hell shall not prevail. That was one of the things that he said to us. So after 2 years, the place, because we are using a two-bedroom house, the garage was the children's church. So very soon, the children's church was packed full. So when people will come to church and the children are just packed, he said, they look for another place. So I prayed to God, and he told us what to do. So build this church this way, design it this way, and then I put it together. And I called the architects. They drew the thing. And the bank said we should be fine, that we shouldn't be bringing any money to the table. So I was excited because our cash flow was good. But this was in 08. If you know, if you follow the economics a little bit, 08 and 09, the economy went down very sharply. So the bank called us back and said, well, because of the economy now, you are to bring 150,000. They told us on Tuesday that you have to bring the money on Friday. Otherwise, you can't close. We have pre-approved too many people, so we are dropping them by who can bring money to the table. We are very few. And I thought if I stand in front of the people, and I said, today is Tuesday, we need 150 on Friday, I will be like Elijah telling the widow of Zarephath to bring, because we are really very few. So I had an idea. as few as we were, there are people working. I had one person working at the time in Chevron. I believe I have somebody in Schlumberger. I said, okay, that I will say, brother this, brother that, brother this, after service, see me. So at least I can tell those few. The Bible study was over. I was in the church that somebody has taught. Pastor Egwin and my assistant taught. So I grabbed the microphone. I was going to announce that, brother this, brother that, can you wait after service? And I heard the Lord said, based on what? And my answer was very carnal. Because it was based on the amount of money I thought they must have. And I was, you know, sharply rebuked in the spirit. So I rushed the thing. Now the bank said, we can't close anymore. We had 150,000. If God is speaking to you, let me know. You know, I rambled the thing quickly. And I ran to my house so nobody asked me a question. I got home. The first person who called, she was a lady who were helping her to help us do some post envelope cleanup, new from Nigeria. And I said, you want to give 5,000 from where? I said, don't worry. I said, what do you mean? I'm not giving you the money. I'm giving to the church. I said, okay, if you are serious, then take it to the, you know, where we put letter in church. And the money I went, I saw the envelope. $5,000. So let me call the husband. And said, hey, your wife gave church $5,000. I'm just calling to greet you. Oh, the husband said, oh, pastor, I'm also bringing $10,000. I said, sir, I know you a little bit. He said, you don't know everything. So when we left Nigeria, we had houses. We tried to sell them, but we didn't get buyer. In the course of this week, we got buyers. The house is sold. They've sent us the money, so we can easily afford $15,000. God bless you. Just to save you time, by Thursday, we had $90,000. But we still couldn't close. One day to go. Somebody joined the week, the church 2 weeks prior. I didn't know his background, but he had just retired after like 30-something years in Shell. So he went to the treasurer, who was my assistant, he's my assistant, and said, that money the pastor said on Tuesday, how much you have left? My assistant said, 60K. So I was just waiting for today to know the balance. Cut the check, 60K. Gave to the treasurer. 150 squared up. Now, I called the bank Friday morning that we are ready. So he said, how did you get the money? Because they never thought we would get the money. He said, can you send the list of everybody? So I called them. The bank said, I should send your name. I said, yeah, send it. I sent it. They cleared us. We closed on that Friday. But do you know, my short list of Tuesday, not a single person. Not $10. I mean, not $1. Even God made sure that I couldn't give that week. And God said to me, I will build my church. As I close, I was going to tell you, maybe I just mention it without staying on it. The salvation experience is a proof that God keeps covenant. Someone like me, was born a Muslim, grew up a Muslim. I mean, my father believed I must be the youngest imam around because I could do memory verse a lot. When they give the Arabic thing, in 3 days I could recite everything. And then God is a covenant-keeping God that I can hold microphone, stand in front of you, a pastor. How can? It's only because he's a covenant-keeping God. Now make the fifth one so I can complete. Establishing the throne of David forever is a proof that God is a covenant-keeping God. He told David, accept the covenant of day and night. Jeremiah 33, I think I should read that. Jeremiah 33, 20 and 21. Thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of day, and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season. Then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levite the priests, my ministers. Listen to me. Blind Bartimaeus screamed in Mark 10, 46, if you read to 52, they say, Jesus, thou son of David. It was the fulfillment of God's covenant. Because the throne of Jesus is an everlasting covenant. And he is the son of David. In closing, I must tell you that this covenant is established to them that love him. Did you see that in our text? David loved God. He loved him in praising, in thanksgiving. That's why when in praise and worship, I don't come late for any meeting. Make sure I dance. He also loves God in his giving. I'm never behind whenever it's time to give. But I think the most important attribute of David loving God is that he repents very quickly. It was the difference between David and Saul. God is looking for someone that will repent quickly, immediately. Who will hone up? I've seen, Lord. And God separates between those two categories. Tell you a story, and I'll be done. This happened, it's no longer a secret. There are two pastors. The two of them are pastors of RCCG. They were on board the Bellevue flight that crashed in 2005. One of them was seated in the front. The next flight to go was Aero Contractor flight. The pilot there went to the cockpit for whatever reason, I believe for the sake of this pastor. And then he saw him. What are you doing here? Long time no see. Is everything okay? Where are you going? He said, I'm going to Abuja. He said, my flight is the next and I'm going to Abuja too. So you come down. You will fly with me. I will put it in the cockpit. Said, no, they already checked my bag, but they were old friends. My bag is checked in already. He said, well, in that case, I will tell the pilot, they will wait and bring your bag out. Because part of his covenant that you will not lose anything on the day of deliverance. They brought his bag out. He was pulled out. 45 minutes after, he landed in Abuja and learned that same Bellevue flight had crashed, on which he sat, where his bag had been checked in. Everybody died. But there was a second pastor. I think it was an area pastor or a zonal pastor on board. It was sad. It was painful. But I think a week or so after, his second wife came to the public. Because the wife had been trying to conceive and have babies, and over the years had not been able to. So he married secretly a second wife who had now given him three children. So brought the children out. You can see their faces. I gave him three children. And I believe God must have been knocking the door of his heart. I know you made a mistake. David sinned against me. But he hung up. He repented. Do the same. He kept his secret. And the day that God will bring his covenant of security and safety, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God had to separate between who loved him and who did not love him. That pastor died. This other pastor, miraculously, was delivered. He's a covenant-keeping God. But his covenant, he will keep with them that love him.
Can we rise, please? Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha and Omega, Jehovah,
there is no one like you.
Hallelujah. Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha and Omega, there is no one like you. Brethren, God is a merciful God. But he wants the one that love him who will repent quickly. He established his covenant. He said, except anyone can break the covenant of day and night, that there will be no day and night. That's when David will not have his throne established forever. He wasn't a perfect man. You know David. Slept with the wife of another man. David, took the wife of the fellow, killed the man, concealed the thing. But when he was confronted with it, said, I'm the one. Lord, have mercy on me. What's going on your heart as I'm speaking now? A little girl broke the plate of the mom. And the house girl said, I will tell mommy. He said, please don't tell mommy. Mommy will flog me. So, okay, if you don't want me to tell mommy, then I will take your breakfast from now on. The girl said, that's okay. And every day the girl had no breakfast at home. She was growing lean. She was growing lean. The house girl was growing fat. And one day, the suffering became too much. Went to the mom. 6 months ago, I broke your plate. Since that day, I had no breakfast in this house. Man said, what? All right, don't break my plate anymore. But come on, resume your breakfast tomorrow. In the morning, the house girl came. Bring your breakfast. I won't give you my breakfast. I will tell mommy. He said, go and tell mommy. You can't win the devil in the secret. You cannot. I'm going to lead 1, 2, 3 prayer points now. The Almighty God who remembered my wife and I, and your own may not be babies, it may be something else, is about to bring to pass his covenant and promises over your life. But will you love him enough to own up and say, I'm wrong. Forgive me. If you are in that position, then raise your right hand above your head. Let him see your faithfulness and your repentance. It's possible we are all in right standing. But even in the camp of Jesus, you know, there were moments when you find unrighteousness. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. God bless you, my brother. God can see that hand. God can see that hand. Raise the hand up. This is a great, crucial moment. God bless you. It's not a show. You just want to say, Lord, I love you enough to own up. Keep the hands up. Keep the hands up. Keep the hands up. I'm not perfect. All right. Now, if you raise your hand, let's pray together right here. Come before the Lord at the altar. Come, come. It's not a show. I'm going to count from 1 to 5. If you are not here, you are saying, Lord, I don't care what they are saying. But for those who truly want to show they love God, and like David did, then come. 1, 2, 3. Is there anyone that wants to join this one? Time is going. My time is probably almost out now. If you are coming, come very quickly. Brother, just cry to God. I love you and I repent of my wrongs. Have mercy on me. My Lord and my God, behold, this is your children. Please, Lord. Forgive them whatever it is, the wrong may be. You forgave David because he owned up. Have mercy on these ones. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Abba Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Now stay where you are, and the rest of us and all of us, raise your right hand above. We are going to pray now. Say, Father, please demonstrate your faithfulness in my life and bring to pass all your good promises for me in the name of Jesus. That's our only prayer. That same God who remembered my wife and I is about to remember you too. Say, Lord, bring to pass your promises. Bring to pass your promises. Bring to pass your promises over my life. Please bring to pass all your promises. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now I want to pray for Farm Foundation. I want you to say, Father. Maybe we should do it like this. Stretch your hand towards this building. Let's join our faith together. Oh, I've seen God doing wonders with projects. It's the turn of this church to testify. Let's bring into realization this building. Speak to God. My Father and my God, we join our faith together. Lord God Almighty, please. You've done it before. Come and do it again. We receive this building in reality. It's no longer an image on the wall. It is a reality. It's a new beginning anniversary. It is a new beginning anniversary. We receive this building. We receive this building, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. We want to establish covenant of life in this assembly. That no one younger than 100 is permitted to die. Let's go ahead and pray for Firm Foundation. The covenant of longevity over this assembly. In the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, we pray life, celebration of life. In the mighty name of Jesus, celebration of life. In the mighty name of Jesus, in this place, Lord God Almighty, celebration of life. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Finally, let's pray what one of my pastor friends would call omnibus prayer, the one that brings everything together. John 14:14 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So let's go ahead as individuals, either for the church or for the family or for yourself. Let's ask something that you know this church needs. Particularly this season. Let's bring it before the Lord. If you don't know anything in particular, agree with pastor. That whatever pastor is asking for now, I agree with him. I agree with him. And if you're a member of the church, you know there's something in particular. Bring it before the Lord. Kerebo shandala makasendele malerebo yaketelebo yakerebo yakalaba yendelebo. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Just before I pray, please let me pray for pastor and my sister, namesake, the wife, their children. Pastoring is one of the most difficult assignments you can receive. It takes the grace of God. That this is new beginning for them. Let's pray that the Lord Almighty God will double grace, double the anointing, double health and strength and financial breakthrough in their personal lives. Can we pray for them? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Well, Father and our God, we just want to thank you. For your son that you have called onto this assignment with the wife. We thank you for simplicity. We thank you for their humility. We thank you for how you have helped them these 8 years. Be glorified in the name of Jesus. We pray for them that Lord, indeed, in their lives and families is a new beginning. New beginning of double portion of anointing. Double portion of grace, of strength, of joy, of financial breakthrough, of blessings of every type. In the name of Jesus, this building will receive it in the name of the Father. And of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is a reality now in the name of Jesus. My Lord and my God, in this assembly, covenant of longevity of life. No child is permitted to die. Nobody young is permitted to die. If anybody carry the mark of death, we turn it to the covenant of life. In the name of Jesus, firm foundation will be known for longevity of life. In the name of Jesus, everything that your children had asked for, from now on, let it be testimony galore. We agree with our pastor and the wife concerning desires of their heart. Let it be granted fully in the name of Jesus. For everyone that have come, your own request, whether it's a new job, fruit of the womb, healing, deliverance, whatever it may be, because our God is a covenant-keeping God, receive yours now in the name of Jesus. Before this time next year, Father, in the name of Jesus, let all of these prayers, every one of the requests, even beyond our asking, have become testimonies. Your children that have come forward once again, I pray for them. Restoration of everything they've ever lost in the name of Jesus. Let it be well with them from now on. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now let somebody shout a really big hallelujah. I know we'll all testify, but if your testimony will swallow that of your neighbor, come on, shout a loud hallelujah.
Church, before we take our seat, can we